If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Elder law attorney Kerry Peck at PeckRitchie.com. He joins us once in a while to answer some questions about issues that affect all kinds of families. Maybe somebody in the family is not giving you access to mom or dad. Maybe there's a squabble or a question about their finances, their medical care, their assets. That's the space where you operate in, right?
That's correct, John. Good morning. How are you? How are your parents?
Pretty, you know, I get asked that a lot because I talk about them a lot on the radio. It's weird. My mom seems to be getting younger.
Wow.
She was in the hospital. She had hurt her hip. She got out. She deteriorated very quickly in the hospital. And then the rehab place they sent her to, which is whatever the opposite of rehab is, that's what they do at these rehab places. It's where you go to get worse. And eventually we got her out of there. And then she moved back into the apartment that she and dad have at a senior complex in Bolingbrook. And she gets physical therapy there, but she's now moving around more. They don't just lay her in a bed. She goes down to lunch. She's engaging with people more. It's, you know, just not a bad TV pointed askew in a room on some channel she can't control. That was her life for weeks, and it was terrible. But now she just seems to be getting a second wind. Her memory is good. She told me a story the other day about her and her friends in high school. You're sorry you asked now, right? But but I mean, it is a marvel to us siblings, her children, that mom seems to be getting better and better.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that's really good news. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. Dad, not so much. You know, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. My dad's a little older than my mom. The big issue at our house, by the way, speaking of elder law and elder issues, Kerry Peck, is how to make it easier for them to watch TV, to control going from Netflix to News Nation to ABC and back. And if someone can make that easy for people over a certain age, you will get rich. You will get rich if you can figure that out. Why are you laughing?
Because, you know, everybody today's got three remote controls, and you're 100% right. It's difficult for everybody. It's not just difficult for older folks.
Yeah. And, you know, the cognitive ability naturally fails, but then it's the physical thing, too. They know what they want to watch, but sometimes those buttons are this big, Kerry. They're this big. They're tiny little buttons. Why can't the buttons be bigger? So I bought a remote control with big buttons and just had like four buttons, like volume up, down, channel up, down. And I thought, I'll just match this with their TV set and then we'll be good to go. I couldn't get it to work. So yeah. I'm no help.
I'm not the least bit surprised.
That I couldn't get it to work.
No, you have to get the youngest kid in the room to help you with technology today.
Well, I was too old to do that. Did you see, by the way, pardon me while I just throw a couple of observations at you, that in Illinois, during the pandemic, because people wouldn't be able to go to the Secretary of State's office, they raised the driving age test minimum to 79. You don't have to get a test until you're 79. Well, that's all over now. But they said, you know what? In the years that we have not been testing people under 75 to 79, the rate of accidents didn't go up at all. So we'll just keep it at 79. What do you think of that?
Well, I think if the statistics bear it out, then it's fine. It's very stressful for an older adult to go for an exam. It's usually difficult for them to get there. And they know that if they lose their driver's license, they've lost their independence. And I think if the accident rate didn't go up, it's fine.
I suppose as the adult children, I don't have any say over mom and dad's driving, right?
Well, if they become dangerous drivers, then I think you have some say.
Not legally, do I?
No, legally you don't.
Well, that's kind of what I'm asking.
But I can tell you, John, personal experience. We took my mother's car away, and that was it. Mommy can't drive anymore. I think families need to take a strong look at it. I think that you need to talk to the family doctor. What's mom or dad's doctor telling you at this point?
Can a doctor sign off on something like that?
Yes.
Would that be like where you have power of attorney over their medical care or no? I mean, I don't think you said yes, but I don't think there's a form that a doctor signs that says you can't drive now.
Well, I think I actually believe that if a doctor writes to the Secretary of State and indicates that his patient is not a safe driver, Secretary of State is likely to take action.
Hmm. What are you seeing more of in your office these days?
You know, we're seeing more caregiver abuse. We're seeing more female caregivers that take advantage of older male patients. And the latest trend we're seeing is that 40-year-old women marry 80-year-old patients. And
even if they're not in the Senate, you're just talking about in the population in general?
I'm talking about, yes, the population in general. And it's a real problem because, you know, the marital relationship is very difficult to overcome and allege undue influence, allege fraud, allege theft, things of that nature.
So an 80-year-old guy, he's a widow, and he marries a 40-year-old woman who was his caretaker?
Right, exactly. And it can be a 40-year-old, 50-year-old, but there's usually a 20, 30, 40-year difference.
Sure.
And dad is more often than not cognitively impaired to some degree. And, you know, the caregiver and dad have been behind closed doors 24/7 for a long time. And, quote, unquote, romance develops. And dad becomes dependent on her for virtually everything. And she says, you know, hey, I think it's time for us to get married. And they get married, and dad signs over the deed to the house, and dad signs over the car, and dad signs over the bank account, puts her on as joint tenant, things of that nature. We're seeing more and more of that. I think that's the latest exploitation trend by caregivers.
I suppose it is conceivable that it could be authentic, that he could be able to make the judgment. He loves her. She's come to care for him. That she likes or loves him and is happy to take advantage of all that comes with being married to somebody, insurance, a roof over your head. I mean, that could, I use the word authentic. Maybe that's something that they both, eyes wide open, agree to.
Well, I think if dad's not cognitively impaired, then dad could, eyes wide open, agree to. But in most instances, dad is cognitively impaired. Dad perhaps is mourning the recent, very recent loss of his wife. And, you know, the caregiver is moving in. One of the things that I believe this is meant to offset is caregivers are now aware in Illinois, you cannot leave a caregiver a gift in excess of $20,000+ in any value, or it's presumed to be fraud. So to overcome that $20,000 limitation of presumption of fraud, it's now, honey, I love you, let's get married.
And so they actually get married.
Yes, sir.
They go to the courthouse or whatever, but they didn't tell the kids.
No, they don't ask. Dad doesn't ask the kids to attend the wedding or stand up at it.
Wow. What recourse in that? I wonder if just that's a fait accompli, like the fact that you snuck off and got married because you know we wouldn't approve. Is proof that you aren't making a good decision, but I'll bet that's not proof, right? I'll bet that that's not sufficient.
It is not sufficient, and it's just a big problem, and it continues to be a growing problem. I was involved in a case in Florida where a caregiver took dad from county to county to find a place where they would marry him. The first two counties said, dad's too demented, we won't do it. The third county married him, and they were, you know, woman was off to the races.
Boy, you think the county clerk or whoever is overseeing that would just see this woman walking in with this guy and go, no, this is ridiculous. This is clearly abusive.
We agree. Yeah. We agree.
Our number's 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls or text messages. You've got a question about wills and estates or these sorts of things. 312-981-7200. I think the last time we talked not so much about a caregiver abusing the situation, but sometimes it's a sibling who is living with mom or dad and is controlling the assets, controlling the checkbook, and the other siblings are on the sidelines and they really feel checked out. They don't feel like they're participating. They feel like maybe the brother or sister is abusing the parent financially. You see that too.
We see it on a regular basis, and usually the way it goes is pretty much the way you've described. The child is living with mom or dad. He or she begins to isolate mom or dad from the other children, takes away the phone, limits them the amount of time that they can visit, heads off to the bank with them, gets her name on as joint tenants on bank accounts, changes perhaps the lawyer, changes the financial advisor, has a new estate plan done, and maybe even changes doctors. So it's often a complete rearrangement of mom or dad's life.
I have a question for Mr. Peck. My mom lives in Florida. I'm in Chicago. She has dementia, and we would like to move her back here with us, but she won't come. I handle things for her long distance. I have power of attorney for her financial and medical expenses. Is there something I can do? Can they force that person to move, Carrie Peck?
Well, I think it's a very difficult situation. It's something that, families face all around the country, coast to coast. I think you should get a doctor's opinion that potentially mom living nearby you should get better care, things of that nature, and then use your power of attorney to consider doing it. But, you know, you got to gauge it very seriously, because if mom throws a fit on the airplane, they're likely to bring in law enforcement, and it's up for grabs.
Suppose you could get in the car and drive, but do you have the power, if you have power of attorney, to force someone to change their residence?
I would say you probably don't.
That would depend on the case and the judge, maybe?
Depends on the circumstances, depends on the circumstances, depends on the medical condition of mom, depends on a lot of things that, you know, in general, I would say you don't have the ability to force them to do it.
They're being stubborn about it, maybe dumb about it, but you can't force them, more or less, unless there's some extraordinary circumstance.
Correct. Unless it, I would say it's an exigent emergency circumstance.
Marge, you're on WGN Radio with Carrie Peck. What's your question, comment, observation?
Hi. Two things. My cousin lived in New York prior to his deceasing, dying.
Yeah.
And his life partner, let's call it, that's what it said in the obituary, he didn't have a will to leave her everything, but he just signed everything over during the time that he had, you know, dementia, strokes, and so forth. Does New York have the same laws as Illinois?
Well, New York does not have the same laws as Illinois, but I'm not a New York lawyer. But certainly if he had dementia, lack of mental capacity is a theme that would run through the laws in all of our states. So if he didn't have the mental capacity to sign over assets, then that's something you can look into. But you need to contact a New York lawyer to do that.
Yeah, good luck to you on that. But suppose that life partner is somebody similarly aged. It wasn't, you know, like you were describing earlier, the much younger caregiver now is just moving in on the guy's assets. If it's somebody you've just never married, but they've been a life partner, now I have dementia. But, I mean, that sounds like a different circumstance, right?
Completely different circumstance. You know, if somebody has been life partners for their entire life, and they both perhaps have a touch of dementia, don't forget, early dementia is typically diagnosed as mild cognitive impairment, and people have the capacity to make decisions and sign over their assets and things of that nature at that stage of the early onset of the illness.
But if you are a life partner, but you're not married, you don't participate then like a wife or a husband legally, right?
That's correct. Under the laws of what we call intestate succession, which means dying without a will, okay, you inherit nothing. The only people that inherit under the laws of descent and distribution are heirs, H-E-I-R-S, wives and children.
Carol, you're on with Carrie Peck. Carol, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Well, you know, we have a situation where my granddaughter's baby daddy had to have surgery last week with an Achilles tendon thing. The doctor told him not to drive for 2 months. He still insists on driving the girls to school. One's 7 and one's 5. We called the police department on that and told them he's driving the girls, and he just had the surgery. The doctor told him not to drive for 2 months, and the police department told us they can't do a damn thing about it.
You're worried that he's not a safe driver? He's going to need to use the brake or something and can't?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because it's his right leg that had the surgery done.
What about a story like that? What are your options there, Mr. Peck?
I don't think you have any options. You've already called law enforcement, and they've decided not to do anything. I really don't think you have much in the way of options.
You get thanks for the call. I'm sorry that we don't have a solution here for you. But that probably happens sometimes, too. People call in with a story, and the answer is, That's you're going to have to manage that on your own.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I'd say the vast majority of times we have an answer with options for you, but there are circumstances like this one where there's no good answer.
Hey, John. Hey, Carrie. We took care of my dad in our home for 5 years. He had Alzheimer's. I know he did our best. It was trying at times when friends and family praised us for our good job. I appreciated it, but I also felt guilty thinking of the times I lost my patience. There's a lot of conversation these days about the mental capacity. Heck, everybody is talking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump's age and their mental abilities as a result. I'm not going to ask you to comment on that, Carrie, but are there any standards or measures of mental capacity based on your working in the elder law space? And I don't know that I'm talking about Alzheimer's, but I know the Alzheimer's Association has a checklist, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Do you know what some of the things are on that list?
Sure. The Alzheimer's Association puts out what they call the 10 warning signs in conjunction with dementia. And they say I encourage your listeners to take a look at that on the Alzheimer's Association page website. They say take a look at memory loss that affects day-to-day abilities, difficulty performing familiar tasks. Can they brush their teeth, for example? Problems with language, disorientation to time and place, impaired judgment, problems with abstract thinking, misplacing things. I don't know. I misplace my keys a lot.
Well, see, that's the thing. Whenever these lists come along, I'm going, okay, I got that. I got some of that. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Changes in mood and behavior. Well, we all have that, so it has to be pretty extreme. A change in personality. I think that's different. A loss of initiative. And one more sign to be aware of, challenges understanding visual and spatial information. So I think that that's a pretty lengthy and rather broad list, but take a look at it. You can also, if you decide, go on Amazon or the American Bar Association website. I was the lead author on a book that we wrote, Don't Let Dementia Steal Everything. And it's written for families and loved ones that have these problems. We wrote another one for judges and lawyers. But it's very reasonably priced, and I think it would be a great read.
This is Mary. You're on WGN with Carrie Peck. Hi, Mary. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my question is, I'm an attorney, Carrie, and I'm having a debate with one of my colleagues. I don't think that health care or property that a spouse can sign a deed transferring the property into a trust. Even though we know that it would be what the demented spouse would have wanted, but I don't think the powers of attorney go that far.
Well, you cut out a little bit on your question, but I think what you're asking is, can you use a power of attorney for property in Illinois to sign a deed into a living trust? Is that correct, Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you probably can, and I think that, don't forget, there's some pretty broad powers at the beginning of that document. I think it have to decide whether all those powers are checked off. But I don't suspect that there's much in the way of case law decisions on it, Mary.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks for the call. Exactly what happened to my husband's family is what you guys are talking about on the radio. The caregiver married my father-in-law. We still have not been able to find out where they were married. But she got the house. She got the inheritance. I don't know if she gets Social Security because I don't know how long they were supposedly married. She probably is getting his pension. She never told him they got married. Found out about it from the lawyer who changed the will.
John, I'm sorry to tell you that we've come full circle in our segment this morning. This is where we started.
That is, I'm sorry, but the inheritance, that's the killer too, isn't it? I mean, there are some expectations that where mom and dad die, if they have an estate and there's something left in it, that's yours. This is taking it right out of your pocket.
Yeah, it's a horrible set of circumstances. And the only thing that I can suggest in a way of trying to prevent it is, as best as you can, and it's not often easy, stay active in your loved one's life. go over there, kick down the door if you have to visit and spend time. Because what that caregiver is doing is saying bad things about the children.
Carrie Peck, in court and out of court at the Peck Ritchie Law Firm. Remember that first consultation with him, he doesn't charge for. And sometimes he'll tell you, listen, I think this is on you. Sometimes it's something he'll take it to court. Sometimes it's just stuff that they will advise you on and help you with. I know people who have been in all of those circumstances with the Peck Ritchie Law Firm. The phone number is 312-201-0900. Okay, Carrie, visit with us again in a month or so, huh?
Thanks, John. Great to see you.